This morning, we are going to continue in our series on relationships, and today we are starting with several verses from Romans chapter 12, where God talks to us about really relationships. And so, Romans 12, verse 9 through 18, says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Utterly reject what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, but fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another, and don't be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all people, and whenever possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people." You know, in March of 2010, Carrie and I were sitting with our congregation in Springfield, Missouri. And we were in the midst of it was a tough congregational meeting. Because at that meeting, our leadership team was presenting to us the options that were before us at the church, which included the high probability that we were going to default on our loan and lose our building and probably even have to dissolve as a ministry. As we went into that, I was not so concerned that I knew that these kind of meetings, they have the potential to go really bad, to go off the rails. They have the potential to degenerate into shouting matches, to become very personal, to take on name-calling and blame-throwing, and many pastors have experienced those meetings. I wasn't so concerned about that with this group. I knew our people. I knew that they would likely remain very gracious with one another, remain unified as we walked through some very hard content and a very hard conversation. What I was concerned about was as I was sitting there with the leadership team at one point, and I look over the room, there was a couple that was sitting there, and they had just visited for the first time that morning. And they had taken us up on the offer to, why don't, you know, anyone who wants to come to the meeting, you're welcome. And so they had taken us up on our invitation. So they're sitting there, and what I was concerned about was that they would hear the situation we were in, they would see the circumstances that we faced, and that would be probably the last time we would see them, because it was a tough place. It was a tough time for the church. But in fact, what happened was they came up after the meeting, and they said to me, "You know what, Van, we have attended a lot of churches. We have attended a lot of church business meetings. Any church that can discuss the kind of subject matter that you had to talk about tonight with their church and remain gracious, remain civil with each other, that's a church we want to be a part of." And they were for the next several years. It's an interesting story because what we thought was probably going to happen didn't happen. And this couple actually remained with us in the ministry that went on there. Often we think that what people are looking for from us as those who follow Jesus, right, as those who are in whether it's Christian relationships, Christian marriages, in a Christian community, in Christian families, in Christian businesses, what we think that they're looking for from us is we think that they are looking for relationships that have no conflicts. We think that they're looking for relationships where there are no differences of opinions, no differences in perspectives, where there are no tough choices to be made, no disagreements. Carrie and I have worked with some very troubled churches over the last, and very challenged churches over the last 30 years. What we have found is that people are not looking for the absence of conflict. What we found is that most people realize that conflict is going to be in any relationship. Because whenever you take two people who have a difference of perspective or difference of experience or different hopes and different dreams, or they have different ways that they go at things, or they're wired differently personality-wise, whenever you have two people or more that come together, you're bound to come up with disagreements, and you're bound to come up with what we'd call conflict. People are not looking for the absence of conflict. Not realistic people. What they're looking for is they're looking for relationships and communities where people know how to navigate conflict well. Amen? I believe that whether it's in a marriage or in a family, whether it's a congregation or a friendship, whether it's a dating relationship, whether it's a corporation, whether it's a community, whatever the connection is that you have with people, whatever the relationship, God has the desire to use us, not to avoid conflict, but has a desire to use us to present to this world a different kind of option for navigating conflict. A different way, a better way to negotiate and to navigate conflict. And this better option, I believe, is driven by our faith in God, is driven by our understanding of His unending love for us. It's also driven by our belief, our faith, that God's way of approaching us and approaching others and approaching situations, leading first with, and we talked about this several weeks ago, leading first with adoration, leading first with kindness, leading first with intention, that God's way of approaching these things is better. It's better than leading with self-protection, leading with selfishness, leading with seeing what we can gain out of it, leading with those things that we often see around us. As a church, we are those who gather. We gather together each Sunday. We gather in Bible studies. We gather together in prayer. We gather together so that we might know this God better, that we might pursue these better options and pursue His ways hard. And it is harder often to follow God's ways, to pursue those ways, to not just default into what we go into. It's harder sometimes, but we believe it is better to pursue those harder ways and to pursue those ways hard so that we might be able to show the world around us this better way. Amen? That's who we are. You guys weren't quite as enthusiastic about that amen as you were about some of the others. Amen?
I don't know. I just, you know.
We're in a series on relationships, and these relationships, they include romantic relationships, but they're not limited to that. We're talking about any relationship we have, because I want you to think about this. We live in the midst of relationships. That is the context of our life. We're born into them. There's no point in our life that we are not in relationship somehow. We don't think about it. We think of ourselves as independent, you know, self-defined beings. That's who we are, right? But the truth is we learn who we are through our relationships, through how other people respond and reflect back to us who not only they think we are, but who we think we might be. And we bounce it off of people and we find out we require relationship. And so our lives, we will either learn to cultivate and guard them well, or we will find that we live in a very empty and a very isolated existence, a very lonely and a very unnatural place for us. It doesn't matter how much stuff we gather around us. It doesn't matter how much prestige and power we have. What really matters in our lives is the health and the vitality of our relationships with others. So what we're looking at in this series is we're looking at essential foundations. So we looked at what true love is. We looked at what people, kind of the greatness of that God has invested in us and in each other so that we can see that. Last week, Cheryl talked about the importance and how important good communication is and what that requires of us. These are foundations. This week, what we're going to look at is that foundation, the requirement of how do we navigate these things called this thing called conflict. How do we navigate that well? Because it is going to come up. Have you guys ever experienced that, right? Conflict? Anybody? Right. Pretty universal. Romans 12, 9 through 18. God spells out some very different ways to look at things, very different actions that He calls us to than maybe the ways that we think about it. And a lot of times we look at this and we think, well, these are talking about the relationships we have with people that we like. This isn't. If you read through there, it's all our relationships should be guided by these things. And it starts out with this verse. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Now, that word hypocrisy, that's a word that actually comes from the world of theater. It comes from the world of the stage. And what it meant was they had the dramas that they would do. The players would put up different masks depending on what the role was they were playing at the time. And it says, don't let your love be like a mask that you just put up when you need it and you take it down when you don't. It needs to be a part of who you are. It can't just be hypocrisy. It can't just be that you love those who love you and you take it down. It's if we want to be like Jesus, love becomes everything we are. It becomes what guides us. So let love be without hypocrisy. What he's saying is make sure to do the heart work in you first. When you're talking about relationships, look inward first of how are you navigating this relationship. The number one thing is to make sure that your love and acceptance is not just something you put up, but it's something that infuses all that you are. So the question is to ask yourself is when you go into times of conflict, when you go into times, and often these are people you love, but when you go into times of conflict, are you leading with this love that God has called you to? Are you seeing this person the way that God sees them? Are you seeing them with the greatness that God has infused in them? Are you leading with the kindness that God calls us to? Are you being intentional the way that God calls us to? Are you leading that? The first step to navigating conflict well is make sure that you're doing your own heart work well. It follows up this, let love be without hypocrisy, this next phrase in this verse. It says, utterly reject what is evil and cling to what is good. Now, we won't see it in English, but in Greek, these two words, to either reject or to cling to, these are two words that are typically used about relationships. Because typically what we do is we reject people we don't like, right? And we cling to people we do. We disassociate with people that we don't like, and we associate with those that we do. If they don't align with us, we throw them out. And if they align with us, we bring them closer, or we try and go closer to them. That's what these two words are about. But it's saying, don't look at people that way. Rather, with anyone, disassociate with evil. Now we say evil is this moral injustice that's hanging out there and it's this theoretical thing that's hanging out in the universe and we have to... No, evil is a very practical word in Scripture. It means anything you do that messes up someone else's life. That's evil. It's more how they look at it than how you look at it. If your interaction in their life is messing up their life, that's evil as far as Scripture is concerned. It says, disassociate yourself from that in all your relationships. In all your relationships, put aside anything that would mess up the other person's life. And I mean really mess it up. I don't just mean that they say, you make me uncomfortable. I don't know what to do with that one sometimes, right? But these real things, we do things to other people that mess up their lives because we're mad. It says disassociate with that. Instead, associate yourself with good. Anything that you can do in that person's life that brings good to their life. And that's just the beginning. That's just kind of the groundwork. That's the first line of this whole set of stuff that he says, do these things to navigate conflict and to navigate disagreement well. Disassociate with what is evil and associate with what is good. How many times have we tried to destroy those who we disagree with or who disagree with us? We go, well, destroy, that's a pretty harsh word. No, not really. Right? The way we speak about them, the way that we speak to them, the way that we try and get other people to align against them, the way that we try to make their life miserable, the way that we try to demean them. Yeah, we pretty much try to destroy them while maintaining maybe an image with others that we're pretty nice people. Do we do that? We don't just sit there and speak the truth about the objective truth about what's going on. We don't lay it out and try and figure it out together. Instead, we spin that truth, and what do? And I want you to think about this, because don't we often spin the truth so that they start looking kind of like the devil himself, right? I mean, the worse we can make them look, that means the better we look, and we'll probably win this one. The problem is that God says, you know what? That's not accurate. Because as misinformed as they may be, as misguided, misled, as antagonistic as they might be in your life, the truth is they're probably not the manifestation of hell itself, not as a creation of God. So it says, make sure that you put away evil, you put away these things, and you cling to what is good. In Romans 12:13, in the midst of this, one of the verses, it says literally, this verse is interesting because it says pursue or practice hospitality. And that sounds like, you know, invite people into your home. These two words, they are crazy. Pursue hospitality is a word that literally means love foreigners, love people who are different than you. Love like brothers, people who have look nothing like your family. That's just the word hospitality. Pursue is a word that he's going to use as the same word that you see later in that verse where it says those who persecute. Persecute and pursue, those are the same word. It means chase after people who are not like you in order to love them like family, the same way as people chase after you who hate you in order to tear you apart. Use the same zeal to chase after people that are nothing like you in order to love them. And to love them like family, as people who hate you would chase you in order to destroy you. That's kind of a challenge. And that's very different than what I think of when I think of practice hospitality, right? Let's have some people over for some cookies and punch. That's not the same. Chase them down. And love them like family. And then it says, and the people that are chasing after you, who are trying to destroy you, bless them too. And don't curse them at all. Don't even say a word of cursing against them. The passage in Romans 12, it ends with these words, so whenever possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. That's a great verse, isn't it? I want to ask you this. Are you guys like me? You wake up in the morning, right? And you go, God, today I want to navigate conflict in a way that brings honor to you. Right? I want to treat all people the way that you treat them. I want to see them the way that you see them. I want people to know you. I want them to see this other option, this better option through my life. God, today, I want to navigate conflict well, wherever it crops up. Amen? And you wake up and 5 minutes later, whether it's with your spouse or with your kids or that guy that cuts you off in the traffic or whether it's a coworker at work, doesn't matter what it is, 5 minutes later, all of that love that you meant to show, right? All of that honor that you meant to give them, all of that, it just goes out the window, and you find yourself instead all wound up and yelling and I mean, right? Some of you guys are laughing because this looks like the mirror maybe in the morning, right? At times, right? We say, how can we actually live this out? Yeah, but it's not just going to be by taking this verse. It's going to be by taking especially this last verse and thinking what it actually means. There are some things that we need to do if we are going to, as far as it depends on us, be at peace with all people. As far as it depends on us, whatever it takes to be at peace with all people. First thing is this. There are a couple of things that we need to do when it comes to ourselves. First one is this, know yourself. Know yourself. And by that, I'm talking about one specific thing. This is all of us in this room. We are wired. In those moments that we hit stress, that we hit what we perceive as threat, that we hit what we perceive as conflict, we are wired. Our body goes into this reaction that we instinctively, pre-consciously react in a certain way. And what happens is physically, all the blood drains from our head. It goes out from all of these unimportant areas, and it goes to our arms and it goes to our legs. They know that this happens when we hit stress, when we hit conflict. It goes to our arms for the fight, and it goes to our legs to take flight. You guys have heard that, right? Fight and flight. Heard that response? And the problem is, right? It moves out. So it doesn't matter whether it's a bear that you meet in the woods, or whether it's an invading army that's coming to take over your city, or it's a coworker that doesn't agree with your idea, or that you adamantly disagree with your spouse about the best way to get to the grocery store. It doesn't matter. In all of those, the blood drains out of your head, and it goes to your arms for the fight and your legs for the flight. Because you're not sure, am I going to duke this one out, or am I going to run away fast? Right? But think about that. So all the blood's drained out of your head. What does that mean? At that moment, we're not thinking the best that we could. Our thinking kind of gets fuzzy, and we come up with all these bad ideas. These bad ideas about what I should do or what I should say. And they sound brilliant in our misguided head at that moment, don't they? They sound like one of the most brilliant things we could say, so we just kind of throw it out there. And we go, why did that go so poorly? Because all the blood's gone. We're not thinking clear. Now, anybody been there? Right? The rest of you with your hands down, you're lying. We've all been there. And we just think in that moment, I'm so brilliant. This is going to clinch it. And it just blows up in our face. And meanwhile, our arms and our legs are just pumped up with all this energy, ready to go, right? And so we start flailing as we're talking, because that's going to help. Now, hopefully, and I'm seriously about this, hopefully we have enough control that we don't start flailing and hitting someone. Because that does no good immediately. But our legs, too, are all pumped up, and we start stomping around. We might even walk out because we got to get that energy out. But in all of that, we find that we are wired for fight and for flight. You got to know that. So when you go into any conflict, and it doesn't matter the level, your body's going to trip into this. So the second thing we need to do that focuses on us is not only know ourselves, but we need to control ourselves. We need to recognize that response. We need to recognize when it comes to bears and attacking army, to fight or to run is a good thing. When it comes to a coworker who has an alternate idea or a spouse that has an alternate route to the grocery store, there are probably better ways to go at it. Amen? So what do we need to do to find that better solution? We need to recognize when those threats arise, we need to recognize when that response is kicking in, and we need to train ourselves to immediately, at the beginning of that response, to start detouring very quickly. Because the most important thing in that is to de-escalate what's going on in your own body. Now, a lot of you guys are going, man, this is starting to sound like, you know, psychology or... this is starting to sound like, you know, just a marriage support class or something. The verse says, in as far as it is up to you, be at peace with all people. This is up to you. No one else can de-escalate you in the midst of an argument. This is part of what the verse is talking about. So in those moments, to learn how to immediately say, you know what, I just got to... focus on my breathing. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. But if I focus on the breathing, I'm going to miss the whole argument. Doesn't matter. Breathe in, breathe out. Because you got to get the blood back to your head. It may mean that you just go, okay, I'm going to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to 10 just before I say anything so I can get the blood back in my head. It may mean that you do anything to distract yourself so that you can just get the blood to come back from your arms and from your legs, and so that you can think about things as they really are. You can see things straight. So you need to de-escalate, distract yourself. Now, usually when you're in that moment, again, you're not thinking straight, so you're not probably going to think about that initially. So sometimes it's good to have something that reminds you about this. And so because this is always with you, it might be good to just, the word is de-escalate, right? So just have a necklace around your, and have a big D on it, right? Just carry that around all the time. So as you go into these fights, the weight, or just an oxygen tank, right? Just 50-pounder that weighs you down. So when you're in that, whatever it takes, so you just remember, breathe, right? It's just, gosh, I'm gonna do something that reminds you not to go the one route, to really take the time to do whatever depends on you so that you can be at peace with all people. Know yourself. Control yourself. Amen? Second is the other person. You need to see them. You need to truly know them as well. Now, we talked about this a lot over the last several weeks. It's when you finally get the blood back in your head, when you're finally thinking straight again, ask yourself, who is this person really? Who is this person to God? And what is he entrusting to me in this moment with this other person's life? Am I really seeing them for who God has made them to be? Or am I just seeing them in terms of what my own kind of desires, my own wants, my own hopes and dreams, my own? Am I just seeing them in that context? Is that really broad enough to know what I should do with this moment? What do I truly want for them? What do I truly want for myself in this moment? What do I really want for this relationship? Do I really want to be cut off from them or cut off from all those who will line up with them if this breaks out into a war? Is that really where I want to find myself when it comes to relationship? Is that what God has called me to in relationship? Do I want to be responsible for harming them, even if they have harmed me? Do I really want to carry that in my relationship with God and with other people to know that I'm the person that has harmed this other person? Because if not, we need to learn how to see what God's goal for us in that moment is. We need to see it, we need to lock onto that, and we need to run for that relentlessly. And he said, what is that goal? It's that you would learn how to love like family, even those who are completely different than you. That you would pursue that with zeal, the same zeal as those who pursue you to break you down and to hurt you. Now, if we do that, if we commit to that goal, does that mean that's where that relationship is going to end up? No. No. But I can guarantee you, if you don't commit to that better way, that better end, that better goal, I can guarantee you, if you don't commit to that, it's definitely not going to end up there, right? And if you do commit to that, and you don't quite get there, I can guarantee you also it's going to end up in a better place than it would have had you not. We all know that. We all know that when we're thinking rationally, right? It's just when the blood drains out of our head and we go into fight flight, that's when we start losing it. We start losing that perspective. Bring yourself back to the point. De-escalate so that you can really see others for who they are and see the situation for what God has called you to, because in seeing others for what they are, we also need to learn how to keep them safe in this interaction the same way. The same way that we had to de-escalate ourselves, we have to realize that this person that we're talking to, they also are wired for fight and flight. So if we allow them to get into that escalated kind of place too, that's where they're going to be. They're going to be all pumped up and flailing and ready to run or hit or something. And so we have to be the ones that say, you know what? We need to de-escalate our response, but we also need to de-escalate theirs. There are different ways you can do that. One of these is found in Romans 12:10. The verse says, outdo each other in showing honor to each other. If you're in the midst of a fight, there's nothing as disarming to another person that brings them back into is the way that you would continue to pay attention to them and say, I just want you to know how important you are to me in this moment and with what high regard I see you in this moment. I see your gifts. I see your callings. I see how God has used you. I see how God has made you. and how that can bring them down, bring them back into it. There may be times that you need to say, you know what? Can we just both stop and just focus on breathing together, right? Can we just stop? Can we just talk about something a lot more fun? Like, tell me about your family. Now, that seems kind of odd in the midst of an argument, right? Because in the midst of an argument, you need to win that argument. You need to, we got to get on the right track, right? But God says, no. In those moments, you not only have to pay attention to yourself, but you need to be paying attention to the other person. You need to guard yourself, and you need to guard their life as well. And that leads into the last two, which are two things that are about the relationship itself. In that conflict, what is most important is that you guard the things that are most important. Guard the things that are most important, which includes the other person and you and the relationship that God intended for you two. Those are the most important things. The argument is not. The facts are not. Not in that moment. When things get out of hand, if those three things get destroyed, that is more detrimental to what God has in store for you and for your life than almost anything else. It's in a relationship we can talk to people. It's in a relationship we can share different ideas. In a relationship that we can talk about things and learn new things and help others learn new things that we know. But if a relationship is destroyed, all of that goes away. So in those moments, some of the most important things are this other person and realizing that God loves this other person. You realizing God loves you, but also the relationship that you're in, realizing that God has connected you in that moment so that you might lead with adoration, that you might share kindness, that you might lead with intention. So in the midst of even that conflict, God might be known. And not just you, and not just them. So in those times, being at peace, we need to know that it's not gained by either any of three things. It's not gained by either controlling and getting our way. It's not gained by consenting and letting them have their way. It's not gained by just compromising and neither one gets your way, right? Which is what compromise is. That's not really peace. If you're talking about a peace and a reconciled relationship, what really relationship is about is that you might fully understand what they're talking about. You might know what they're saying, but also why they're saying it. What drives them? What is it about? Is it about their wiring, about how they're just who they are as a person? Is it about their experience that goes into it? Is it about their understanding in the world? What is it that makes them say what they say? And that you might be able to share yourself in the same way, that you might be able to share who you are, that they might know you better as well. So the important thing in this is, yeah, do the hard work of having these conversations. Do the hard work of getting into these places where there's a lot at stake. There's a lot of emotions that are attached to this stuff. Do the hard work of going into those places and talking about things that are hard, that are going to take some time, that are going to take some that people have a lot at stake in, that is going to be hard to work through and to walk through. Intentionally lean into these things. But make sure that as you do, navigate them well so that you're guarding the other person, you're guarding yourself, and you're guarding the relationship. Amen? Does that make sense? Final thing I want to leave with you guys is this. Also, as you're looking at this relationship, know that peace is always a two-way street. There will be times that you do all that is up to you to do, and it still doesn't go well. Because the other person, peace is always gained when two people invest in that relationship. You cannot force peace. You cannot force relationship on someone else. But in the midst of that, make sure that you do what you can do. Make sure that you don't give up early. Which, according to God, is that you don't give up, right? Don't ever give up. Don't ever stop honoring. Don't ever stop leading with kindness. Don't ever stop being the intentional one that makes the first move of grace. Don't ever stop doing that. But know that there will be times that the other person might not be willing to abandon their own response, not be willing to abandon the fight, not be willing to abandon the running away from. In those cases, you are not responsible for making peace happen. Because the verse says, really, it just says, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. So learn to love like God loves. Learn to pursue. Think about these things. I want you guys to take this stuff, and if you do, don't do anything else. Just go through them and think, what is the highlight? What are the one or two or three things that I need to remember out of this in order to do these well, so that when conflict arises, I do them well? I think one of the most important ones is just be aware of yourself and de-escalate. Amen? I mean, if we would just do that, half of the stuff would go away. But then to move from that to where we also start protecting the other person like we really care about them. We don't want them to drift into this kind of escalated state where they're just flailing and they're going to feel either guilty about or they're not going to like how this... God has better plans for them as well. But think about, what are the two or three things that I need to take from this? Because we need to learn how to love God well. You know, or how to love each other well. God loves us this way, right? I mean, his faithfulness is what blows us away, isn't it? Isn't it that when we mess up one more time, we go back to God and we're expecting that he's going to shame us, that he's going to kick us out, whatever, but instead he just says, welcome back. And his kindness keeps coming. That's what blows us away about God. When people see this in us, that's what blows them away about us as well. When they see God's love lived out through us. And especially in times of conflict where they don't expect it. God calls us in our marriages, in our families, in our congregation, in our businesses, in our friendships, or those just random relationships we have with each other. God calls us to navigate conflict well. Because it's going to be there. He's made us all very unique, very wonderful. But you get unique people together, it's going to be there. Amen? You guys know that? So love each other well. And as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. Amen? Father, thank you for this morning. Oh, thank you for just the amazing people you've made us into. And how this, just in this room, how it represents just your creativity in such an astounding way. We see people with gifts and abilities and personalities and things that make us, just cause us to wonder at your creativity and at their gifts and their skills and their experiences. But sometimes those gifts and experiences and skills, that we come up against them and we don't agree with them. God, in those times too, help us to love each other well. And help us to show a world that is watching this other option, this better way to live with each other. This way to lean into even conflict when it comes to our relationships. And pursuing true peace, not just avoiding, God, pursuing peace, the peace that makes you known, the peace that reflects your love, the peace that reflects your character, your nature, so that they would see this option that honestly I think that we all hope exists out there somewhere. They would see it in action, and they would see it in us. So Father, make us great in our relationships, these relationships that are healthy, that they last. Help us to keep pressing into these so that we might bring honor to you. To the name of your Son, pray this by the power of your Spirit.